From downtown Milwaukee, welcome to Money Talk with Bob Landis. Each week, professional advisors from Landis & Company Investments discuss the latest financial developments, offering timely insight and long-term perspective.
This is Money Talk for Thanksgiving weekend, and it's Bear Week in Wisconsin. The Packers host the Chicago Bears this Sunday night at Lambeau. Let's begin our geography lesson for today. In Indonesia, a meteor crashed through the roof of a house. And talk about making lemonade out of lemons. The owner sold that meteor for $1.8 million. And you know what they say in Indonesia? Finders keepers. In the state of Washington, a man applying for a state patrol job got arrested during the interview. Wow, he must have got all the answers wrong. In the San Francisco Bay Area, the Kaiser Foundation is offering people who can work remotely $10,000 to leave California and move to Tulsa, Oklahoma. If I'm from Tulsa, I got to be thinking, hey, what do I have to do? I'm staying here. In Amsterdam, the police raided what was reported to be a marijuana farm and found only vegetables. It also found that romaine is really hard to smoke. And finally, in Poland, a man who loves the fish and drink beer built a 12 by 15 foot tiny house on the shore of his favorite lake, and he built the house out of his empty beer bottles. I'm not sure what's most impressive, the eco-friendly house with a kitchen, bedroom, and bathroom, or that he drank all that beer. And with our special Thanksgiving broadcast, here's Bob Landis.
Well, thanks, Max. Joining me on this special program is my colleague, Kyle Tedding. Well, folks, we're entering into my favorite time of year. We just completed the fall harvest. Holidays are coming up. Thanksgiving is just days away. It's also the time of year where we're overwhelmed with solicitations from charities. So this is our annual attempt at talking about charitable giving. And we're here to give folks just some guidelines, you know, during this pandemic. It's so important to pay attention to people that are desperate at this point, people that are lost, people that are last, people that have the least. And our intention here is to review some of the guidelines to how to benefit financially just on the margins when you give money away. We won't want to make sure that the focus is on the people that need the money. You know, Kyle, when I talk to children about money, I try to divide the money into three different categories. You can spend some, you should save some, and you should give away some. You know, the Greek philosophers way back when would talk about that you've got to satisfy your basic human needs of food and shelter before you can really delve into philosophy. If you look at the existentialists of the last 100 years, the French philosopher Jean-Paul Sartre made famous the idea that happiness doesn't start until you become involved in a movement greater than yourself. A lot to be said for what he has written. To me, giving money away is my favorite thing to do with money. Well past the point where I've satisfied my human needs and wants, well past the point where got enough material possessions. And so you get into the realm of giving money away, and I've had just so much pleasure with it. So in this time of pandemic, there's so much need out there. You know, I encourage folks to step up to the plate. But because we're money people, we try to do it the smart way. So Kyle, let's start off with giving money out of IRAs to charity. You got to be older than 70 and a half. The limit is $100,000, but it's one of my favorite ways for people that are old enough because you're avoiding all of that ordinary income and you're able to benefit the charity as well.
You know, Bob, I think the critical piece there is that, and again, for clients, what we're talking about here is called a qualified charitable distribution, or you might see it written as QCD, although we try to avoid those acronyms as much as possible. But what we're talking about is a qualified charitable distribution. And it's this opportunity, if you're 70 and a half or older, to get money out of your IRA and not have it counted in your income. And so obviously it has to go to a charity. It has to go to directly to a charity. It can't pass through your bank account first and then have you write a check, because you need that in order to have it be counted in your income. But the great news is that whether you itemize, whether you take the standard deduction, again, if you're using the qualified charitable distribution, you get to avoid the taxes on that distribution. Now, in previous years, it was a great way to take some of the money you had to take out of your IRA as part of a required distribution, and shield some of it from taxes and do what you ultimately were going to do with it anyways in terms of giving it to a charity. Of course, in 2020, with required distributions suspended for the year, a result of the pandemic, I think it doesn't mean that we don't consider the qualified charitable distribution. If anything, it just gives us more flexibility as far as how much and when we want to give. And so, if you're thinking of giving money, if you've got an IRA and you didn't take a distribution this year because you didn't have to, I think it's still worth the conversation about whether or not you might want to do that. Remember that your required distribution next year will be based on the balance as of the end of the year. And so if you lower your balance a little bit by taking a distribution now, potentially your required distribution next year is a little bit lower as well. And so you can help yourself a little bit next year that way, and you can help some people right now in terms of that distribution.
Kyle, I want to talk just for a minute about the practicality of giving money from your IRA to charity if you're older than 70 and a half. From our standpoint, as the broker dealer, it couldn't be easier. We'll email the client a form, they sign it, they tell us what charity or charities that are involved, how much, and we do the rest. We send the form on to Pershing, typically, that are the custodians of most of our retirement money, and Pershing will send the check directly to the charity. Another comment I'll make is, I represent all sorts of people that give nominal amounts of money to dozen or more charities. And I encourage people to think in terms of giving money out of their IRAs, even for smaller amounts. Kyle, you're well aware this is the time of year where many of our clients are making their pledges to their churches or synagogues. And to encourage people to think about, making those pledges out of their IRAs, again, if they're older than 70 and a half. A lot of people take the standard deduction these days. And for that type of pledge or contribution, if you will, I think it's ideal out of IRAs. So it doesn't work for everybody. It is $100,000 limit. But when you think of giving your money away at death, retirement money comes with the biggest purse strings. It's all taxes, ordinary income. And now beneficiaries of IRAs, other than spouses, have 10 years to take all the money out. So I just love that as a vehicle. Second on our list is giving away highly appreciated securities. So a number of years ago, the government made sure that broker-dealers like ours were keeping track of cost basis for assets in non-qualified, non-retirement accounts. So we easily have the ability to look at your holdings and tell you what are the most highly appreciated of the stocks and stock funds that you have that usually help the advisor counsel clients on which of the securities are better than others to give away. The same point that I'll make about giving money out of your IRA is it's fairly straightforward. Most people would be surprised to know that the vast majority of charities are well used to people donating securities to the not-for-profits. They typically sell as soon as the security gets to the charity. They don't hold them. They don't inventory them. So you got a pretty good handle on what your tax deduction's ultimately going to be because it's driven by what they get when they sell the security. Not the day of when you donated the money. So, Kyle, that's my second way. I'd like to give highly appreciated securities because, get the benefit of the charity, of course, but you're dodging the capital gains tax that you would normally have to pay on the profit.
And I think that's such an important point. If you do the math on, you know, I want to give a certain amount of money to a charity as an example, and you look at, okay, in order to do that, I'd have to sell something from my portfolio. It's just one example. And you pay the taxes on whatever money you made on that thing. And the amount you have to sell ends up being far greater than the amount you actually want to give in order to cover those taxes. And so to be able to gift those appreciated shares directly, and keep in mind, it's a complicated tax analysis. It requires a little more planning than simply signing a distribution form. But working through that tax analysis and understanding that there's a benefit to gifting those appreciated assets, I think is a big deal. And then you look at the fact that, you know, there are many, many ways that those shares could leave your portfolio, whether it's gifting, whether it's donating, whether it's selling. But oftentimes we have clients who will hold a security simply because they have such a large tax liability for selling it. And that complicates the decisions within your portfolio, right? It complicates the asset allocation piece. And so this can be a great resource as well for trying to give some of those shares that maybe you were having a hard time deciding whether or not to hold, where the motivating factor was that tax liability. Yeah, okay, go ahead and give it away. The person you're giving it to doesn't have to worry about that tax liability. The charity you're giving it to doesn't have to worry about that tax liability. And you get to reallocate your portfolio maybe in kind of a way that isn't traditional, but that can get rid of some securities that you otherwise might not want to hold on to.
Kyle, again, I want to underscore the point that it's fairly straightforward and simple to donate highly appreciated securities to charities. We do most of the work. We'll do the advice. We don't charge for the service. And it's practically just sign a form and away you go. With just a few conversations in between. So, Kyle, as you're well aware, a number of years ago, I set up a donor advised fund for my wife and I. And I want to talk about that because I found it to be very flexible. I think it's a great tool to teach my grandchildren how to intelligently give money away. I think it forces the family to fine-tune a mission statement. I've changed the manner in which I give money away over the years. Most of us do. The older I get, the more I want to benefit people that are starving, people that are homeless, benefit small children. You know, still give money to the arts. Don't get me wrong. But my mission has changed over time. Back to the donor advised fund, I find it to be a wonderful vehicle when you're in a high bracket year, you want to give some money away, but you're not quite prepared to give it to a charity yet. There could be all sorts of reasons for it, but I like the donor advised fund because, you know, you've waved goodbye to the money. It's legally not my money anymore. It belongs to the people that run the donor advised fund. But I get to direct how the money goes, and you build up a nice balance. And, you know, the idea of building up a good balance and then taking your time and giving the money away gives you all sorts of flexibility. So, you know, clients find themselves in a high bracket year for all sorts of reasons. You're selling a business, you sold an income property, or, you know, different reasons for being in a higher bracket. Donor advised funds are wonderful vehicles, in my opinion, to make a meaningful commitment to charity. You get the write-off for the most part that first year, and then you can take your time giving money away from that donor advised fund. It gives you a lot of flexibility.
You know, Bob, what I find so interesting about this conversation is that we've kind of moved from some of the simpler ways to give and some of the easier ways to make sure that you're capturing the tax benefit of that to some of the more complicated ways, right? A donor advised fund, fairly straightforward to set up, but it requires a little more planning in that, you know, you want to start to have that mission statement. You want to start to understand what's the ultimate goal of this money? When do I want to disperse it? And who do I want to disperse it to? And so it's not, you know, anymore a single signature on a single piece of paper that says, give $500 to my church or give $500 to the food pantry. Now it's a string of decisions that you can make. And an important thing about those donors advised funds is that you can fund them with things more than just cash. So you can use appreciated assets to fund a donor advised fund. Now, you can't use a qualified charitable distribution, and that's an important thing to note as we're talking about how we, the various ways that we can give money, but you can use those appreciated assets to fund your own donor advised fund, which ultimately gives the opportunity to distribute that money down the road. And so, you know, I think as you talk about those first two we talked about, and now we're moving into the, you know, talking about this donor advised fund, it requires a lot more planning. It requires a lot more interaction with your advisor, with your tax planner, even sometimes bringing an attorney in, or bringing, you know, someone that you trust that you can talk to about the tax implications, because again, it's not as straightforward as that one signature. And so I think, you know, it's amazing how you can have a gifting plan that can be as simple as, yeah, I want to throw $500 out of my IRA into this wonderful charity that I like, all the way up to these strategies for, you know, I want to put hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars into this longer term vehicle that allows me to give.
Kyle, one of the things I like about a donor advised fund, at least the one I set up, is that it's going to last longer than I will, that I've created a vehicle that will support the charities that are near and dear to my heart long after I've passed away. So you have this ability to continue your charitable giving long after your death to benefit the causes that you care about. From a fee standpoint, way less than 1% a year. It's not a huge number. And I think there are a lot of benefits for folks that, you know, are thinking multi-generational with their giving, folks that are really trying to drill into their specific mission statement. And I think it's a kind of an overlooked area of charitable giving. Kyle, my last thought here is to just talk briefly about conversations I've had with clients over the years that, you know, ultimately result when we talk about charitable giving to, you know, eventually clients start giving away more money while they're alive. You know, years ago when I first started doing this for a living, most people thought of significant charitable giving to occur when they pass. And, you know, you're not going to enjoy the money after you're dead. You're not going to appreciate how much the charity needed your money when you're dead. So to encourage people to, you know, take a good look at their charitable giving while they're still alive. You know, so far we've been focusing on charities, but nothing wrong with giving money to family and friends as well.
Oh, and I think that's such a great point in structuring those gifts so that they maximize the tax benefit for the recipient, right? It's why you don't give appreciated assets to kids or grandkids. It's why cash is probably a better gift. It's why if you want to leave money behind from your IRA, you use a traditional IRA or a pre-tax IRA for charities, or a piece of it for charities, and you use things like the Roth IRA for family, because ultimately the charity doesn't have to worry about the tax consequences of that traditional IRA, whereas kids and grandkids would absolutely have to pay those taxes. And so a lot of this is just about having these conversations on a regular basis about, you know, what do I want to be doing with my money right now? Part of it is affordability, but for so many people, affordability isn't even the biggest issue. It's trying to plan through what I really want to do and what I want my legacy to be. And so, you know, I think critical that there are lots of different ways we can get there. We talked about just a small portion of those. There's many more that we could, you know, many more paths we could go down that get even more complicated than what we talked about. And I think, you know, to the extent you go down those paths, you start to bring in more attorneys, you start to bring in more CPAs and more tax preparers, because it does require that. But, you know, I think just important to know that these vehicles are out there, important to know that this is the time of year when so many people want to have that conversation, but you've got to be planning for it all along.
Well, folks, this is the end of yet another Money Talk. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Bob Landis. If you have a financial question you want answered on next week's show, email it to moneytalk@landis.com. To keep informed throughout the week, visit our Money Talk page at landis.com.